and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of dispensations, we've looked at the dispensation of innocence. And let me give you a quick definition of what a dispensation is. Now, I know that we've looked at this, and we've seen what a dispensation is not, and we've seen what a dispensation is. But let me give you something, we'll call it the definition in a nutshell. The central idea in the word dispensation is that of managing or administering the affairs of a household. And for our purpose, dispensation is man managing or administering the affairs of God on the earth. You see, as long as man is present on the earth, man will be an administrator of God's holdings, whether he's doing it right or wrong, whether he's saved or lost. Man has been given the opportunity and the position as a servant to serve God while on this earth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." I believe that we failed miserably in doing a good job for the Lord. Now, I know that, we go out and we tell people about Jesus Christ, but couldn't we be doing more? Couldn't the churches of the world, those who are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, and the pastors of those churches, couldn't we be doing more to spread the Word of God around the world? I believe Jesus is coming soon in the rapture of the church to take the church out of here. I know people have been saying that for years, but they've been saying it for years, and I've said it for years, but it's closer now than it has been, and it could be any moment that Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel saying, "Come up hither," and those of us who are alive will be caught up together with them, those who have gone on before, and the greatest thing is, we'll be with the one who has saved us. We'll be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, when we think of dispensations, remember, in the beginning, God created. And I entitle this study, A Walk, a Dispensational Walk, from the beginning to the beginning. Remember, I've said that in the beginning, God, Genesis chapter 1, and then we go to the book of Revelation, and many times we say, well, that's the end. No, that's the beginning, where God creates a new heaven and a new earth. So we're going from Genesis to Revelation, studying dispensations from the beginning to the beginning. And that's what I mean by dispensational walk. We're going to walk through the Bible, and we're going to look at God's economy. And we're going to understand that we're still here, and we have the responsibility of taking care of God's place that he's placed us in while here. Let me say this, that some people get the idea that God in eternity past, and by the way, that's not a dispensation because it's God alone. A dispensation means that it's God and man. It takes God and man to make a dispensation, not God alone and not man alone. But some people look at eternity and we wonder, people wonder, well, why did God create man in the first place? Why did he create the earth and all this? Well, some people say, well, God, he was lonely. God was sitting around one day and he was just so lonely. He was crying and he just couldn't help himself. He just needed someone that he could confide in and that he could have fellowship with. Well, I got news for you that if you believe that, you're wrong. Because there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were having communion together. They were together, and we've talked about this, how that there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one. Don't ask me to explain any further, because It's hard for me as a human being to understand how that there could exist three in one, but I know it's true because God's Word tells me God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, was God lonely before He created man on this earth and before He created the creation? Was He lonely? No, He wasn't. He was not lonely, and once again, He created us in order to take care of His economy, of His holdings. He wants us to do what He has programmed into His program, what we should be doing, and that's taking care of business for Him while we're on this earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. That means everything God created is beautiful in the beginning. It goes on to say, also, He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We see now, we don't know anything, do we? No, that's not what it's speaking of. It's talking about that we don't know everything. And the way we find out things from God is getting into His Word and studying the book, studying the Word of God. It's God-breathed, the King James Bible. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And we get in that book and we find out things about God and about ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 says, Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, this is Jesus now getting ready to speak. When Jesus came into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Jesus Christ came into this world. He came for a specific purpose. God sent Him to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, to shed His blood, to be resurrected so that mankind, the ones who, He placed man here, but man messed up in the Garden of Eden. He ate of the forbidden tree, and God told him, He said, if you do that, the day you do it, you're going to die. Well, he did it. He ate of that forbidden tree, and he died spiritually that day. Well, later on, he would die physically. His body would die, but his spirit would be alive. God saved Adam and Eve by shedding the blood of innocent animals and clothed them. I believe there were sheep. He clothed them with a robe of righteousness with the fleece of the sheep. And this is something that we need to stop and think about. All through the scriptures, we have the picture of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a reference to Christ shedding His blood on the cross of Calvary thousands of years later, after these two had gotten in trouble by eating of the forbidden fruit of the tree. Well, let me say this quickly. Adam is the one that got us in trouble. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's personal. Adam got us into it, but we have personal sin that must be taken care of in order for us to go to heaven. And the only way to take care of it is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice, if you would, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, Jesus was with God before anything else was made. Well, in fact, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 talks about the Word, and the Word was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God. And John 1:10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. That's Jesus Christ. And the world knew Him not. John 1:12 is very important. It says, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And it goes on to say in verse 13 of John 1, which were born not of blood. This is speaking of the person who has gotten saved, which were born not of blood. That means you can't inherit salvation, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't work your way to heaven. No matter how hard your flesh tries, you cannot work your way in. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saves us. And then it goes on to say in John 1:13, nor of the will of man. Nobody can will you to heaven. Nobody can say, well, I'm going to bless you now and you're going to go to heaven and I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. No, that's not possible. Man can't do that, but Jesus Christ can when we trust him as Lord and Savior. Notice it says, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's all of God. God is the one who has made it possible for us to go to heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in other words, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I don't know about you, but you know, I don't consider myself to be an English scholar, but it doesn't take very many brains to understand what the word everlasting means, and that means forever. When we get saved, we're saved forever. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you say, what's that got to do with the dispensation of conscience? Well, I'm leading up to that, and we're not going to get into the study of the dispensation of conscience too much right now, but we're going to continue on later. And by the way, if you don't get all of these lessons, you can go to our website. It's agoodliferadio.com, and you can listen to these once again. And at the end of the program, you'll hear that address once again. Well, a dispensational walk from the beginning to the beginning. And I remind you that God has always had a plan. There's nothing that just happens by accident with God. He knows. Well, we've looked at the dispensation of innocence, but let's look at it like this. Innocence lost. You see, a false interpretation of God's word leads to loss of innocence for Adam and Eve. Let me say it again. False interpretation of God's word leads to the loss of innocence for Adam and Eve. And we looked at the dispensation of innocence, but now we're to the end of it. And you see, if an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie, and I say that many times, then those who have been warned against using perversions, that's heresies produced by perverts, are actually making excuses for doubting the true word of God. We see this is what happens when a person has a conversation with the devil. And this is exactly what happened to the woman, to Eve, in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. Well, notice that in those verses, what happened here is a misquoting of what God said. And we see that today in many perversions that's being put out by man today to make money and to lead people astray. We see that happening even today where man misrepresents what God says. Eve misquoted. She added to God's word, his instructions, when she said that God said, neither shall you touch it. God did not say, neither shall you touch it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Well, we see that there was a false interpretation of God's word by Eve, and then we see that the eyes were opened to sin after that took place, after they ate of the forbidden tree. Eyes were opened to sin, and this means innocence lost. And we'll pick up here the next time, and you be praying and asking God to lead and guide you through the word. I can't study for you. You must study for yourself because you need to be a workman that's not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May you be saved if you've never trusted him. May you ask Jesus into your heart right now. And if you are saved, serve him today because you are a servant of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.